And we're just delighted to have Cody and Winna with us. Said they've been in Mexico for 21 years, so I know we've been supporting them 21 years. And count it a great, great honor, privilege, and just delighted to have them. Just tell you, you know, this technology is something. We was coming over the road Sunday, clicked on the telephone, got Todd Nivert streaming live, listened to service through Bluetooth coming over the highway. He got through, then we clicked on streaming here Sunday night and heard Gary's message. Astounding, just unbelievable. So next time you when you're preaching, you don't click your phone on it, you know. And that was really something. I was talking to Todd yesterday. I said, I heard you preach. And said, yeah, he's preaching on the blood. And you started out in Romans 3 and then went over to Exodus 12. He said, that's right. That's what I done. But this technology is something, really something. All right, I'm going to read these first 13 verses and sing another song, and Brother Cody's going to come preach for us. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh, I submit to the righteousness of God. Oh, I do. The only one God's provided for us, and that's our Lord Jesus. For Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the goal, the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Faith don't ask for no evidences. Faith don't ask to prove to me, what can I do to get Christ's work for me? And here's what it says. It's what the righteousness of faith says. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith we preach. And this is the word of faith we preach. This is where faith is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's a heart work God does. And with the mouth you make confession of what's in your heart unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
It's a joy for me to be here with you tonight. I love your pastor and love this congregation, and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your prayers and your support over these 21 years, but you've supported the work in Mexico for longer than 21. You've supported my dad, and before that, David Blatcher, and the Lord has been faithful to supply all our needs through his people, and I'm thankful for you, and I appreciate this opportunity to come and say this to you personally, that how much I appreciate and thank the Lord for you. We're going to be here a few more weeks in town. I don't get out from Mexico very often, but this time I've got out for a month. Brother Jose Tzul and Brother Elio and Brother Gilberto and my dad are taking care of all the services while I'm here. So I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't have somebody that I knew would take on and preach the gospel. It's a real joy for a pastor to be able to go away and know that the gospel is going to be preached in his pulpit. What a wonderful gift of the Lord that he would give pastors and teachers and preachers. You have a pastor and a preacher and a teacher, but that the Lord would raise up other men that could preach the gospel. What a blessing. What a blessing. This evening I want to bring a message to you from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. My text is in chapter 2, but I want to remind us, and I know you've read this portion of Scripture, and I couldn't possibly go through all the verses, but I want to remind us what the Apostle Paul is saying here in the first chapter, writing to the church of Corinth. These are believers just like you and I, men and women who have been born of the Spirit of God by the preaching of the gospel, who have been regenerated. They're new creatures in Christ Jesus, who have a holy nature, been partakers of the divine nature. But all believers in this world are men, are sinners. And we have this battle with the flesh. We have this battle with this carnality. And we'll have this battle from now on until we're no longer in this world. And we need to know what it is. We need to recognize it for what it is when we see it. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, and he says there in chapter 1, he said, I hear that there's divisions among you. He said, I hear that there are divisions or contentions among you. And the Apostle Paul is saying that Christ is not divided. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is one body. We're saved with, we have one Lord, one baptism, one faith. And we're in one body. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of this body. And there's not a competition, and there's not a division. It's not a political division between churches. And neither is there in the church, in the local church. But some people were saying, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas. And some were saying, well, I'm of Christ. As if to say, I don't need a preacher. I'll just stay home and read the scriptures, ignoring the fact that God gave preachers and teachers to the church for the edifying of the body. But there were these divisions, and the Apostle Paul said, Christ is not divided. And when I came preaching to you, I didn't preach myself. And not one of God's preachers preaches himself. We preach Christ crucified and ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. I didn't come preaching myself, and I didn't come baptizing in my name. Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He didn't send me to draw followers after myself. You can spot a false preacher when you see him promoting himself. And every time you see a billboard and you see the big name of the person that's going to have a big campaign, and if the name of the Lord is on there, and by the way, that's a false Jesus he's preaching. It's in little bitty letters. You have to get a magnifying glass to see it. But God's preachers do not glorify themselves. They're not to preach. They don't preach themselves. They preach Christ Jesus. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. I didn't come baptizing. I came to preach the gospel of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tells us what we are to be hearing. No matter who stands in this pulpit, no matter who stands in the place to tell God's word, what we are to be hearing is the gospel of God. What we are to be hearing is the message of the cross. What is God saying by Jesus Christ and him crucified? What is God saying by hanging his son on the cross? Now there's an outline that we could stay there for a long while, but I'm going to go on. But we see in the cross of Christ first the necessity of the atonement. God is holy. God is testifying that he is holy. God is testifying that he is just. God is testifying that he is merciful. God is testifying that he is love. And God is saying, look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the world. The message of the cross. And this message of Jesus Christ and him crucified is foolishness to those that perish. The apostle said it's a savor of life unto life that those that are alive. And those that are dead, it's a savor of death unto death. But it's a message of life. It's a message that glorifies God, that honors God, and that God is well pleased with. And God's people are given noses to appreciate the gospel. Now it says here, I'm going to go on to verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to them which are saved it is the power of God. This is the message by which God gives life to his people. God gives life. Man is totally inactive in this matter. Religion has it all backwards. They have a man believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then as it were, obligating God to save them because they believe. They have faith as a work. But God gives life mysteriously, sovereignly, without the preacher knowing. Without the preacher knowing. And the person who gets life, it's a surprise to him too. I believe. I didn't believe before. Now I believe. It's a surprise. The Apostle Paul, don't you know, he was surprised when God knocked him off his horse. And he was out going, trying to destroy anybody that confessed Jesus to be the Christ. And the Lord revealed him. What a surprise to him when he found out Christ was in him. When it pleased God to reveal his son in me. He was trying to get him out there. He was in me. He was in me. What happened there? God worked a work of miracle. Gave life. The evidence of that life is faith. Faith. Well, it says here, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching that saved them that believed. That means that nobody can just stumble upon God. God is not found out in the universities. These TV programs that say know who Jesus is, they'll never find out who Jesus is. He's revealed, and he's the Lord Jesus. Start with that. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. But man is not going to, a man that has a degree in Greek and Hebrew and can and grammar and just has all these degrees behind his name, he can read the scriptures and find out how to dress and find out what to eat or not to eat, find out recipes. And he thinks all along that by doing this or doing that other, he's going to establish his righteousness before God. Man, God in his wisdom determined that man is not going to find out God by his wisdom. Men are sending out rockets to the space to try to find the origin of the universe. It's right here in the beginning, God. They're not going to find out. God's going to turn this wisdom upside down. He's going to make this wisdom of this world foolishness. In the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Oh, how vitally important it is to hear a preacher. You know, and it's not a question of whether or not God can. It's not a question of God whether or not God can save a man by reading the scriptures. It's what has God revealed that he's going to do. He's going to reveal himself through the preaching. The man is not going to be able to say, well, I came to this conclusion. I believe because I came to this conclusion. Well, you don't believe yet. It's the gift of God. Man is not going to find out God. God is going to reveal himself when a man stands up and preaches the gospel, preaches who Jesus Christ is. Well, it says here, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him. Okay, now, I've read this many times, and the Lord laid this on my heart just a few weeks ago, and I've preached it several times already here in the States, and I want to mention it briefly, as I go to the text that I have for tonight. It says, but of him. What he's talking about is men are glorying in men. And what he's saying is, you didn't believe because you heard the gospel from Paul. How he is the apostle Paul. But men don't believe because they hear a certain man preach. Men believe because God put them in Christ. Men believe because God chose them from before the foundation of the world. That's why men believe. It's not as God is being taken by surprise. I didn't know he's going to believe. Men believe because God put them in Christ. No flesh is going to be glorying. To say that I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Apollos is glorying in men. God has determined that all glory and all honor is to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No flesh should glory in His presence. And I gave this illustration. I might as well go ahead and give it here. It's a good one, I think. You see this pulpit. It's a beautiful pulpit. And this pulpit has several pieces of wood. It's got different parts, and they're assembled a certain way. And what if this pulpit could talk? What if this pulpit could talk? And this pulpit, you know, you have what was used to make this pulpit? Well, you have a hammer, and you have a screwdriver, and you have a planer, and you have a saw. These are instruments. But what if this pulpit could talk and say, and this part says, "Well, I'm of the planer." And this old pulpit said, "Well, no, I'm of the hammer." And this one said, "No, I'm of the sander." That's a pretty silly illustration. But you know, that's just how silly it is for men to glory in men. No, you're not of the sander. You're of the carpenter that put you in the furniture. He's the one that chose you and formed you, put you into the body. And so, as the Lord Jesus Christ, we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And God put us in Him. He put us in the body, in the place where He would have us in the body. And so we don't glory in man, we glory in God. As it is written, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. God made Christ Jesus to us to be wisdom. Wisdom to know the true and living God. Wisdom to know how we may approach unto God. This is not known by natural man. Wisdom to know ourselves. This is true wisdom. Wisdom of God. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us wisdom to know the true and living God. To know that in Christ Jesus, I have righteousness. To know that in Christ Jesus, before God, I am just. I am made the righteousness of God in Him. If I'm made the righteousness of God in Him, that means that everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did while He was on the earth is my righteousness. It's my righteousness. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So I don't talk about my righteousness. That a man who talks about his righteousness, that's a foolish. He's a fool. There's only one righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone to believe. I'll make mention of thy righteousness and thine only. Thine only. He is our righteousness and He's our sanctification. In Christ Jesus, I'm holy. I can't be any more holy. There is no progressive sanctification. Now, there is a growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those people who talk about progressive sanctification, listen, what they're talking about is going back to the law. Anytime you hear someone talk about progressive sanctification, they're going back to that's how they measure their progressive sanctification. I stopped doing this. I stopped doing the other. They're introducing law. Progressive sanctification. We grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to bring reproach on His name, but in Christ, I'm holy. I'm holy. And that's the wisdom of God. Christ has made it to me wisdom to know that in Christ, I have nothing lacking. I'm complete. You're complete in Him. And redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ has made us redemption. He has redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is that one day He's coming back for us, and we're going to be transformed into a body like His. All right, that's not my message either. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now here, come to chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, why did He come to them? He came because God sent Him. God sent Him. Why does the gospel come to you? Because God sent it. God sent it. His people are in this world. He loved them with an everlasting love. They're lost. In Adam, we're lost. We're all like sheep gone astray. We're lost in this world. That doesn't mean He doesn't know where we're at. We're lost and we're not seeking after God, but He knows exactly where He put us where we're at. And He's going to send a gospel messenger with this message of Jesus Christ and cross the path of His people. It was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to go to Samaria. Why? We read on because it says there were some people there in Samaria. The Samaritan woman and several from that village were going to come to the knowledge that Jesus is the Christ. Is the Christ. When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. He could have. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. When people study the Apostle Paul today in the university, they call him the philosopher. He'd be mad at that. He'd be mad at that. He was taught philosophy. But you know what he called it? He called it dung. That's what he called it. He said, and when I came to you, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. I didn't come to you with wisdom of words. There's a way a person can talk and you don't know what he's talking about. You ever heard a doctor talk to another doctor and you think, what in the world is he saying? Talk to me in English. So he's using English all along, but you don't understand it. But the Apostle Paul said he wanted to speak in terms that he'd rather speak of five words and be clear than with 10,000 words and just muddy the waters. Muddy the waters. I didn't come to you that way. I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What is the message that we declare? We bring the testimony of God. And this is a first thing we want to establish when we testify, when we preach the gospel. That is not our word. Although it is my gospel that has been revealed to me, but I'm speaking the word of God. This is the testimony of God. In Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul calls it the gospel of God. It's the gospel of God from eternity. It's the testimony of God from eternity. And this gospel of God is the gospel concerning is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the testimony of God. This is the testimony that God has given us life in His Son. The testimony of God. The gospel of God which He had promised before by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. This is first of all the testimony of God. And the Apostle Paul, anytime a person confesses the Lord Jesus Christ, we're bound to give God thanks. Thanks. As he says in 1 Thessalonians, when you heard the gospel that we preached, you heard it of us. I'm paraphrasing this, but you know the text. In 1 Thessalonians, you heard the gospel of us, but you didn't hear it, as it were, the message as from a man. You heard it as it was in truth, the word of God, which worketh in you, works in you. In other words, a man is going to listen to the preaching not as the opinion of men or not as the doctrine of men. That's what they say over there in Lantana Grace Church. He's going to stop hearing it as this is what Brother Donnie Bell preaches. He's going to start hearing it and say, God's speaking to me. Unless a man hears God, it is of no avail. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the word. Voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We must hear the word, the Lord Jesus Christ speak to us. And when he speaks, we live. He says, like he said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth, come forth. I came to you preaching the testimony of God. In verse 2, this is my text. I determined not to know anything among you. And now, that's hard to do. You've got to determine. Because people always want to talk to you about something else. Then that's so. People want to talk to you about anything else other than the gospel. I determined to know nothing among you. In other words, I didn't want to know whether or not you were educated. And I didn't care whether or not you were not educated. I didn't come, because it says right here, those that are called, they're not many mighty, not many noble. I didn't come to you thinking, well, this man is uneducated, and I'm not going to be able to speak to him in the same way I speak to this person that's educated. It's the same gospel here in Crossville, Tennessee, as it is in Papua New Guinea, in Yucatan, Merida, Yucatan. Anywhere in the world you go, it's the same gospel. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I didn't come to you speaking in wisdom. This is what I want to know, and here's my message. I want to know, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know that Jesus, that one that hung on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, is God manifest in the flesh? Do you know that He is the creator of all things? Unless a man knows who he is as God, he cannot save him. A man that does not believe that Jesus is God, equal with God the Father, equal with God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Unless the man knows and believes that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus he's believing in cannot save him. Only God can satisfy God. Only what God requires, bless God, God provided. He provided Himself the sacrifice. I want to know from you, do you know that Jesus is God, the creator of all things, blessed forever? Do you know that He controls everything? He's the sovereign. Do you know that He upholds all things by the power, by His power? Do you know Him? Anything less, if He's not God, if he's not sovereign, if He's not the, when we say God, we talk about, so there's no other kind of God, is there? Any other kind of God is a false God. We're talking about sovereign God who does whatsoever He will. And we're in His hands. You're in His hands. He's not in you can't decide what you're going to do with Him. You better fall at His feet, beg, have mercy on me. He is God. Do you know that Jesus is God? This is what He's saying. I determined not to know anything among you save this. Jesus, who is He? Do you know He's God? Do you know He's man? Do you know He's... God was manifest in the flesh. Do you know that the Word was made flesh? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh. You know, in the Old Testament, the Son of God appeared. On several occasions, they call this theophany. He appeared to Abraham. He appeared to Jacob, you know, when he wrestled with Jacob. He appeared to Manoah. But that's that He appeared in the form of a man. But He must be made flesh. In order for a man to be in God's presence, man has to obey God's holy law. Man, the law is put on man, and man has to obey that law. The Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh. God the Father sent Him to do His will. What is that will? To establish righteousness as a man here on this earth. Do you know that Jesus Christ is truly man without sin, and that He always did that which pleased the Father? He established righteousness. The Father said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Do you know that He established? There's no other righteousness. There's no other righteousness. God is well pleased with the righteousness of His Son. Do you know He's man? Do you know why He came? Do you know why God was manifest in the flesh? To put away the sins of His people. His name is Jesus. Do you know why His name is Jesus? His name is Jesus, the angel said, because thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Do you know that what He did, when He did it, He saved His people? It's a done deal. Do you know that salvation is an accomplished work? Do you know that Jesus Christ is not trying to save anybody? He saved His people from their sin by His doing, by His obedience, both active and passive. He obeyed the law of God, established righteousness, and He obeyed even unto death, the death of the cross. When He was made sin, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know that He is the Christ? Do you know that God the Father, when He gave His people a son, a people, in eternal election, do you know that when He gave His Son a people, He made His Son to be to His people prophet, priest, and king? Do you know that when God, in eternity, when He made this covenant with Himself and gave His Son a people, His people, they're going to come into this world and they're going to go away. They're going to sin. But God is determined to show mercy. When the angels fell, He left them in realms of darkness. There's no Savior, no hope, just waiting for the judgment day. But He gave His people, and He gave Christ to His people as prophet, priest, and king. When this covenant was made in eternity, where were you? When God determined to do what He was going to do, where were you? What? How could you ever find out? what's in God's mind and what God's purpose is except God send his prophet. He is the prophet. He is the word of God. He is the prophet by whom we know God. No man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. God is spirit. The Son, I'm going to have to read it. God is spirit. Nadie ha visto a Dios jamás. El unigénito que está en el seno del Padre, él le ha dado a conocer. Let me see if I can translate that. No man has seen him. The only begotten is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. He hath declared him. He hath told him out. So that when, as prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ shows us who God is. We don't know God apart from Jesus Christ. And we're not going to see another God in heaven but the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him. He is God. And he reveals God. He reveals God. He reveals him to whomsoever he will. But he's the revelation. He is the revelation. He is the prophet. Bless God, he's the priest. As he gave his people the priest. The same one that said, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee," also made him a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek with an oath. An oath. He is the priest. Now, a priest must have somewhat to offer. The Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't redeem his people with blood of bulls and goats. He redeemed his people with one sacrifice by the shedding of his blood. By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever them that are sanctified. By one sacrifice, that sacrifice of himself, when he knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us. God laid the sin of it, and that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man died. God can't die. What gives value to that sacrifice is that's the blood of God. He offered his spotless humanity and his blood on the altar of his deity and made atonement for sin and took sin away, and sin is no more of his people. No more. I want to know, do you know that Jesus Christ has paid the sacrifice? He's satisfied. He made satisfaction. Prophet, priest, bless God, he's the king. He's the king. The Lord Jesus Christ is not waiting to be made king. The Lord God, the Father, made him king from eternity. He's the ruler of all because of creation. He has the right because he's the creator. But as man, he earned the right by his obedience. For this purpose, he died and rose again. And now to be the king, the Lord over the living and the dead. He's the king. Now, this is something that men don't know. And God's people, this is revealed to them. Do you know that he is the king? Man lost this understanding. One of the first things, God teaches his people is to say, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Thy will. What is thy will? Thy will be done. Because man, by nature, is always saying, "My will, my will." You know, the essence of sin is rebellion against God's will. God's will. God's will. You know, Satan said, "I will ascend on high. I'll be like the Most High." God cast him from heaven. Adam in the garden, Satan said, "You'll be like God." He said, "Well, I'll be like God." And he sinned. He said, "I'll be like God." There's only one. There's only one. One God. There's no other God. There's no other that receives the honor and the glory and the praise is the Lord Jesus Christ. You read the song of the redeemed in glory. Not unto us. Not unto us. But unto thy name give praise. Thy name. Not unto us. Well, I want to know this. Do you know Jesus Christ? Jesus, who he is. God. Man. That he is the Christ. The one that was foretold in the Old Testament. Pictured. Typified. And now he's come. Do you know who he is? And do you know his work? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's his person and his work. Him crucified. Why he died. Why he died. He died to put away the sins of his people. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He died because God is holy. And God must punish sin wherever sin is found. And when he was made sin for us, the justice of God fell on him. He was made a curse. Hung between heaven and earth. God wouldn't look upon him. Turned his back on him. This is a great mystery, how that God forsook God. But he did. Why? God will never forsake his people. God will never forsake his people. I'll never, never, never forsake. Do you know his work? Do you know he satisfied God? I want to know this. Do you know he satisfied God? Look at that cross by faith. What do you see? Oh, there's nobody there. There's nobody there. He was taken down from the cross and laid in the grave 3 days and 3 nights, and he rose victorious. God testified. God testified with power. He is. Everything that he said and everything that he did, he pleased me. God rose him from the grave. And all those that are in him, risen with him. Do you know that? That's what I want to know. I don't want to know anything else. This is your salvation. Do you know him? That's why I want to know this and nothing else. For by determined to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. I didn't come relying on my eloquence and my oratory or rhetoric. I came relying on the power of God. I came relying on the Holy Spirit making this effectual. What I've just got, people can hear this and go to hell unless God makes it effectual. Though it is the truth, it is the gospel of our salvation. And you who know the Lord, you're just rejoicing. You're rejoicing in who he is and what he did. This is all your salvation. This is all your salvation. But the reason you are is because it came to you in power. And not because you heard it from a man. Not because you heard it from a man, but you heard it from God. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. May the Lord bless his word.
Lord, thank God for letting you know, God. That just don't get no better than that.